I'm Meredith.
And I'm Robin.
And this is My TV Family, where we're hosting the ultimate TV family reunion. Today, we're talking about father and daughter relationships.
Welcome back to My TV Family. As Meredith mentioned, this week at My TV Family, our topic is fathers and daughters. I don't know about you, Meredith, but this is one of my favorite pairings on TV.
It's a good one.
Because I am a daughter and I have a father, maybe? I don't know. Who can say? This isn't therapy, Meredith. And based on our social media responses, our listeners out there love this topic too. So thanks for sending in some topics and shows and relationships you wanted to talk about. So in addition to that fun topic, we will also be sharing a new listener fantasy family.
Woohoo!
If you would like to share your fantasy family, we would love to see it. So please send it our way at mytvfamilypod@gmail.com. And speaking of those lovely listeners out in the world, thank you all for the great ratings and reviews on iTunes. Keep it up. And again, if you want to interact with us and get involved in these conversations and topics, be sure you're following My TV Family on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Follow us. You know you want to.
Do it.
Okay, so first we are going to talk about what we're watching, and speaking of following us, we want to hear what you're watching, so tweet at us, tag us on Instagram, let us know what you're watching.
Yeah, there was lots of good stuff out this week, I think.
Yeah, and we need help catching up.
I only have so many hours of the day to dedicate to watching new shows. I mean, it's a lot, but I can't do it all, so listeners out there, back us up.
Let us know. Let's see what Robin got to this week, because I know your list was long.
My list was long. I do have a couple of other things I want to catch up on. I want to check out Splitting Up Together and Alex, Inc.
Okay.
Which I haven't gotten to yet. But the headline, with a bullet, was Roseanne.
Whoa.
The Return of Roseanne. It was such a giggle fest, comfort food delight. I watched it with my husband, and we both were laughing until we were gasping for breath.
Wow, that's huge.
I will say that, so it was, I don't know if it was considered one episode. They had the theme song twice, so I'm going to call it two episodes. So the first 30 minutes, I'm sure you've seen or heard, was super Trump and Clinton and parties and voting. And I think that might have been a little bit of a misstep to lead off with that, because I know that turned a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But the second episode really focused on the family dynamics and a part of the old show that I really liked, which was the parents humiliating the kids and the kids just being mortified of the parents' behavior and trying to act like they didn't know them and trying to beg the parents, like, when so-and-so comes over, could you please, I think at one point Becky says, can you just think of a normal person that you know and act like them? Which was such a good line. And it just reminded me of all the times that Roseanne started dancing in public around Becky and her crush. So it definitely gave me those old school Roseanne vibes. Again, that was the second episode, not the first.
Yeah.
And there was also, I know there's been lots of discussion about, so Darlene has a son who likes to wear dresses and skirts sometimes. And I think that it was handled really, really nicely. And, you know, John Goodman's this big, tough, burly grandpa dude.
Yeah.
And ends up giving the kid a knife to defend himself at school. And it just really ended up being less about what they thought about him dressing that way, which was maybe not what you would think their opinion would be, and more about how they all kind of respected him for just doing whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah.
Which seemed like a very Connor family value.
Yeah.
So that was really good, but most importantly, it was like pee your pants funny.
Okay.
So I know you were not a Roseanne devotee in the beginning, but just know it gave me some throwback, way back vibes.
I know. I was so happy for you this week.
Yeah, it was very exciting, and I loved the Twitter emoji of the little Roseanne couch that was all over the place.
They went all out.
I do love a special Twitter emoji that makes me very happy. So I watched that. I watched a little program called Call the Midwife.
Call that midwife.
Call her. You better call her. So that is another magical thing about the era that we live in, Meredith. Sometimes you're not even paying attention and your little DVR says, hey, I know you used to watch this show. I recorded it for you. It's like the most special, delicious treat that could ever arrive on your television.
I love when someone pops up when you're not expecting.
Oh, I had no clue that Call the Midwife was coming back. And two episodes just beep, plopped into my television life, and it was so wonderful. I got a big bowl of popcorn and a little bit of candy and watched me some Call the Midwife. And it did remind me that I should have mentioned them on our episode about found families at work.
Okay.
The ladies of Nonata's house. You don't watch Call the Midwife, do you?
I haven't yet.
Well, it's about midwives and
what?
They all, so the midwives.
Does someone call them?
Yes,
or what?
I know. It's crazy. Super complicated plot. It's like Alias, but with nuns. So the midwives all live at this convent, I guess it is. It's where the nuns live. Yeah, I guess that's a convent. So the midwives live with the nuns. And okay. Back in the day, the nuns were the main midwives. So Great. It's kind of this like mixed up, you know, half nuns, half like, you know, young, beautiful, you know, social midwives, if you know what I mean. Social lives. So it was just wonderful and I loved it so much. And then this is not something that I'm watching. It's okay. Just something that I'm obsessed with and Ooh. Counting the minutes until my letter carrier arrives with my mail. Have you seen the new cover for Entertainment Weekly?
I have the new covers.
Yes. Multiple covers.
Yeah.
Hashtag Creek Week. So Entertainment Weekly has a reunions issue from time to time. And they have a Dawson's Creek reunion.
So good.
It looks so good. And the pictures are so good. Someone has commented about Pacey Witter's hat choices.
That may have been me.
I mean, you're not wrong. It looks ridiculous.
But I notice, I think Pacey's wearing the same hat as Joey is wearing in one of the pictures.
Do you think they're doing it?
That's not what I was implying. I was just saying, I think it may have been just like a prop because Pacey has his shoes off at one point or,
is
you
it
know what I mean?
It's something to do with the show? Was there a hat situation?
I don't know,
show?
But I think they were trying to be just like, you know, just hanging out in the summer down on the creek with our shoes
just
off.
Just little Joey Potter from the creek.
Got my hat on. Well, now Joey has my hat on.
They looked mighty cute, and I know Katie Holmes has a man, but here's hoping.
I did see that Busy Phillips.
Your
story.
Girl.
Yeah, my girl, she said that Michelle wanted her on her cover. That's why she was there.
That's very nice.
Because I saw a lot of people.
I honestly wondered what she was doing.
I saw a lot of people question, like, she's not really part of the core four of Dawson's Creek, right?
I
she came
that.
On.
I did question that.
Way later. So it was interesting that she made it onto one of the covers.
Michelle Williams made it happen.
Michelle Williams, yeah.
I bet she said, I'm not coming unless she gets to come.
There's a chance, or the judge just says, I want Busy to come, and they're like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, I feel like some dirt is going to
she put
come.
Her foot down.
So anyway, I'm super jazzed about that. I feel like Dawson's hair looks very good in the pictures. I'm just very excited to hear what they're all up to.
I know,
to.
And they had Jack and his
Grams.
Sister. Grams. I know, Grams was still around and looking like a babe. And was it Andy?
Andy, Jack and Andy, yeah.
She was there, which again, that one season was really big with Andy, but it was interesting that they brought them all.
Some side players.
Yeah.
Like Busy Phil. Sorry, I know she's your friend. Yeah, so I'm super jazzed about that. I will be waiting by the mailbox. And then also some other exciting news. I don't know if this was like a renewal announcement week or something. Was there like a deadline? Like you had to renew shows by this week, but both One Day at a Time, which I love with all my heart, as you know, and Queer Eye got new seasons.
I'm so happy about that.
I'm so happy. You finished Queer Eye.
I did, and I had a dream about them being my best friends, and they were like, help. We were just like hanging out, and it just felt like the best dream of my life.
What was Anthony wearing?
I don't remember. I'm not as obsessed with Anthony as you.
Oh, he's so cute. he was definitely wearing like a t-shirt with words on it. That's kind of his, that's his style statement. The other thing I realized about Queer Eye is Karamo was on The Real World.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I just kept thinking, I know him from somewhere. I know him from somewhere. I know him from somewhere. So here's a tip. You can just Google people.
What?
Instead of just wandering in silence for the rest of your life.
Oh, technology.
I know. So he was on The Real World Philadelphia, which was filmed when I lived in Philadelphia. And we used to go to Starbucks across the street from the Real World house and stalk the people and wait
for them to come. Karamo.
Yeah. So he.
Robin, all these worlds colliding for you.
I know. And the Real World house was next door to the Betsy Ross house, which is right close to Robin's house. And so, yeah, it's so crazy.
He's crazy.
Real world. He's a reality celebrity.
Yes, he is.
Anyway, so that's what's got me excited this week.
So many good things.
How about you? Did you do any TV watching?
Just a little bit. I started watching Madam Secretary for season 3.
Okay.
It's one of those shows that I don't watch while it airs. I like to just
save them up.
Yep, and let
so
it
what's,
come.
So is that current? Is that like close to current?
Yeah, I think they're on season.
Like it's been on for a long time.
They're on season 4 right now on the TV.
Gotcha.
So I'm just one season behind. And it just is really nice to see that people are competent in the White House.
Meredith.
I know.
Getting political.
I won't get too political, but.
And she's a lady person.
Yeah, it's nice to see women and competent people just making things happen in the White House and saving the world left and right. It does get a little much at times. Like, are there really that many problems in the world? But there probably are.
Well!
I know, but they just are saving one country and, you know, all these impending crises.
And would the first husband really be that sexy? That's my beef with the show. Not that it's like a terrorist attack a minute, but
I know. Well, they're both, he's in the CIA and she's the Secretary of State. So
he just got a little sexier.
There's so many problems that they're solving and just in the nick of time. But if that's really how the real world is, I really hope Tia Leone can get the job done for us.
Well, fingers crossed.
So I'm enjoying that. So thanks to one of our listeners who included her in our fantasy family, because mm-hmm. that got me thinking, oh, yeah, there's probably...
What's Tay Leone up to?
There's probably another season ready for me to watch. And
that's
this
exciting.
Is, this show, Last Man on Earth, came out when Brooklyn Nine-Nine did.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I watched that together.
Really?
Yes, we were watching that. And
would I like that?
I don't know. It would be hard, I think, to watch it.
I started it. I know, like, the concept.
Yeah. So he's the last man on Earth.
Yes.
Or so we thought. The very first season was the best, where he was just doing all the crazy things that someone would do. Very much like, what's that?
Risky Business.
Maybe. What's that show with the kid who gets blank check? Blank check. Or Home Alone. Yeah. Just like doing all the crazy things, right? Like he's gathered all the famous art and put it in his house and just like blowing things up and all that. That was always very fun to watch. It gets a little heavy for me. We always have to watch that first and then Brooklyn Nine-Nine just to like lighten the mood before I go to bed. like this most recent season, this is maybe a little bit of a spoiler, but Fred Armisen is on it and he's a cannibal.
What?
So
what's his name is not the last man on Earth?
No, he's not. He finds that there are other people who have survived the virus or whatever. And Fred Armisen is the cannibal, and that just, there are moments where they talk about that really make me want to vomit. It's gross, but anyway.
Maybe don't watch that before bed.
Yeah, no, and then you follow it up with Brooklyn Nine-Nine and you're all set.
Yeah, and then little Queer Eye and you have Queer Eye dreams. Yeah. There you go. Recipe for sleep success.
So those are the two new things to talk about. I really want to watch Queen Sugar.
Is that on Oprah's network?
That's on Oprah's network, which...
You know, I love Oprah.
I'm really
with
hoping.
With all my heart.
I'm really hoping. Who doesn't?
No one. That's who.
I'm really hoping I can find it for freezies. if anyone has a suggestion on where to watch Queen Sugar starting from season one, I'll take it.
Better give Oprah her money.
and so that's on my list of things to check out.
Okay. I know multiple people have mentioned that that's a good show for us.
Yeah. And they're coming to ATX Festival. So I just feel like I would watch anyone
and studying
anything before they come. Cause then it's really exciting to see mm-hmm. the cast members.
Anybody else exciting coming to ATX?
I think, the cast of Better Call Saul.
And Felicite.
Oh, yeah. And Felicity is coming for The Americans. The only reason why that's not exciting for me is I don't watch The Americans.
Maybe you should start. It seems like it's not violent or scary or terrible and doesn't have torture or spies or killing people.
I'll be just fine. Just follow it up with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You'll be fine.
Okay, so that's what we're watching. Remember, let us know what you're watching. If you have any suggestions of what we should be watching, we will take them and we'll do it.
I mean, you tell us to watch Queen Sugar, we're making it happen.
And we're going to watch Goldbergs. I promised everyone
for Goldbergs is strong, man. We get it, everyone. We're watching.
I promised someone I would watch This Is Us. Ugh. So, I know.
I mean, how nice.
I will do that. All right, let's get into our fantasy family.
So this is our listener fantasy family, and again, we are always happy to see new ones, so please send your fantasy family our way. So this week's listener fantasy family comes to us from Sarah in Washington, D.C. Sarah's subject line for her email really tickled my funny bone. She said, "My family, for better or for worse."
All right.
Which feels like my real life family sometimes. I love you all. And Sarah starts off by saying, "Here is my TV family. I agonized for weeks over this." Which we've heard time and time again that people really put time and effort and thought into this.
Which we get.
Which I totally get. And I really appreciate. People are thinking hard about this activity for our little old podcast.
Yeah, no one's just slapping people together for a fantasy family.
Well, I like that people are treating it like it's for a grade.
Yeah.
That's important. Mm-hmm. But I also love that people want to get it right.
Yeah.
You know? This feels very important.
Yeah.
And don't be sending us addendums, neither. Okay, so for better or for worse, the agonized over for weeks from Sarah from Washington, D.C. Here we go.
Let's hear it.
Sarah says for dad, she would pick Sandy Eyebrows Cohen from the O.C. Peter Gallagher.
Yeah.
We hurt you. That's quality.
Proven to be a good choice.
Her mom is, I think, someone I would put up there as a quintessential TV mom.
Mm-hmm.
Elise Keaton from Family Ties.
So good.
What do we do, baby? her son is Bright Abbott from Everwood.
Yes.
That's a real good family show we need to talk about more. And Bright was played by...
Don't do that to me.
Andy from The Office.
Yeah.
His name is Chris... something. It'll come to us. Pratt. Good Lord.
Yeah. Chris Pratt.
Pratt. So Chris Pratt, again, started out on Everwood and carved out a little career for himself. So that's a
and some carved out some abs for himself.
I know,
well.
He really did. He was a high schooler on Everwood and like kind of dorky. And I mean, I think he was kind of jocky.
He was a cool kid.
Yeah, but definitely not the man that we know now.
No.
So son, Bright Abbott. Daughter, Laura Ingalls. From Little House on the Prairie. That's a great one. She might come up again later in the show. second daughter, Arya Stark, from a show called, it looks like, Game of Thrones?
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah. So
it's got a cult following.
Arya seems to be a popular character, so that's a cool daughter. And then neighbor is Wilson from Home Improvement.
Great neighbor.
This is a solid list. Sarah, thank you for sending that in. We love getting your fantasy families and always fun to look at and read. Okay, so shall we talk about our topic for today?
Let's do it.
All right, so I thought we could do a quick rundown of the pile of listener faves that came in.
Yeah.
So speaking of that Little House on the Prairie, Laura and Charles Ingalls, and I actually forgot his name was Charles because I always just called him
Pa.
So that one got a couple of picks. We also had a couple votes for one of my favorite shows, and I think it's yours as well, from Friday Night Lights, Coach and Julie Taylor.
So good.
That was a good one. The thing that I remember about that show is when she would do things she wasn't supposed to do and he would be just shattered.
Yeah.
And how he, you know, had to balance coaching a full team of dudes.
Yeah.
And parenting this little girl. I mean, she wasn't a little girl, but I thought that was a great relationship. We had a couple folks mention The Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Both Richard and Lorelai.
That's a great one.
Which is a great one. And Luke and April.
Yeah, Luke and April, I feel like, is one that people don't talk about.
I feel like people have thoughts and feelings about April.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She went on to do more freeform shows. but Luke and April, I think, I mean, people probably have thoughts about April because that kind of came in between
Luke and Lorelai. Kind of like a plot device.
Yeah, so I can understand that. But it was nice to see that side of Luke. And, you know, he just really dove into...
he doved it on in.
He dove in into being a father and had to fight to have time with her and stuff like that. Those are nice things to see. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see a parent want to be with their kid.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's a great choice.
Yeah.
Not an obvious choice, but a great one. So.
And Gilmore Girls, once again, a show that has so many great family dynamics.
Yeah.
Do you want to hit the rest of the list?
Yeah. So other listeners suggested Jack and Kate from This Is Us. Again, I said that I would watch that. I did see the first few episodes, and there was one episode where she was self-conscious about her body in a swimsuit when they were young.
Oh.
And he did this really sweet thing, talked about the shirt that he had, and he gave her the shirt, and it would make her feel special or something. Aww. Like that. But he was, I can see why people like Jack as a dad.
What's his name from Gilmore Girls?
Jess from Gilmore Girls.
All right.
And then another listener suggested Emily Thorne and David Clark in Revenge, which is a great choice, especially because David Clark wasn't in a lot of Revenge. Did you see that show?
So he was in prison or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was in prison, and Emily was getting her revenge on all the people who put him there. So
she left Everwood, and she was like, I'm going to get revenge on these people who put my dad in jail.
Yep.
He was just a small-town doctor doing the best that he could.
Exactly.
Same show. that's a good one. I love that. Go ahead.
Another suggestion was Hank Voight and Aaron Lindsay from Chicago PD. And it's not a show I watch consistently, but they do have a really great relationship. They're both in the Chicago PD. It seems like maybe they were estranged at one point.
Oh.
And now they're back and kind of balancing that and being in the same department. I don't know how to say Giles and Buffy.
Giles and Buffy, yes. This is from friend of the pod, Adriana.
Okay.
She said that she would like to petition that Giles and Buffy be included, even though they're not blood relatives.
Okay.
I don't know that much about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I do know that Giles was kind of a father figure and shepherded Buffy and the rest of the Scooby gang through their trials and tribulations. So
okay.
I move that we count it.
Hey, there are no rules.
Approved. So someone mentioned Father Knows Best and said that she loved the show so much that she asked her dad to call her Kitten because that's what the dad called the daughter on the show.
That's cute.
I love that so much. Ned and Arya, again, from whatever that program was, Game of Thrones. A couple folks mentioned Homer and Lisa. They're one of my personal favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Bill and Sissy on Family Affair. I will say that a couple of folks mentioned that these are classics or throwbacks.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the next one, this is definitely a classic.
Yeah. So Samantha and Tony from Who's the Boss?
Samantha.
It's a great. That's a great one. One we've talked about before is Michael and Joey with their daughter Nicole from My Two Dads.
That's a clutch one.
So good. And then we have our last one is Captain Stubing and Vicky
from The Love Boat. Love, well, exciting and new. Well, come aboard.
I think that list
is expecting you.
That is awesome. Thanks everyone for sending in your suggestions.
That was awesome. It was really fun to see those rolling in.
Got us really thinking about the father and daughter relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive deeper into some of these dad-daughter combos.
Let's do it.
In thinking about it, I couldn't really put my finger on something that made this relationship any more special than other relationships. How about you? What did you think about when you were looking at fathers and daughters?
So I definitely don't think that it's more special or...
Yeah. Oh.
That's good words. But I do think that there is something interesting about this relationship, and maybe it applies to other relationships too, but in the father-daughter combos that came to the top of my list, it seemed like they fell into two categories. Either the dad and the daughter are cut from the same cloth and totally understand and get each other.
Yeah.
Or they are completely different, totally butting heads, clashing. Well, which is not to say that the ones who are cut from the same cloth aren't clashing and butting heads.
Parents and children.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you may be more likely to butt heads with someone who's exactly like you. But, so, I digress. Bucket one, super similar. Bucket two, totally opposite, but trying to figure it out and love each other and want to be there for each other. And I think bucket one would be, like, Dan and Darlene Connor. They're both super sporty and into sporty type things. And also Keith and Veronica Mars. I know lots of listeners mention that as one of their top favorite daddy-daughter combos.
It's hard to beat. They are the best.
The measurement against which all others will be measurmented.
I dare say hashtag relationship goals. A part of me just died inside for saying that.
Good.
Well, let's talk about those.
Talk about it.
So let's maybe we should just right off the bat talk about Keith and Veronica.
Oh, Marsh. Let's do it. They're my fave.
They are so good.
Why do you love them?
Let me count the ways. Well, first, Veronica had to make. I know Keith Mars was in my fantasy family. He was my dad in my fantasy family. And I talked about how he was the one who stayed.
Yes.
And Veronica, or he had to make that choice to be there and to stay with Veronica as their mom left. But you know, I never really thought that Veronica had to make the choice to stay with her dad or to side with him because mm-hmm. she had to leave her friends and kind of leave the social group that she knew to really side with her dad. When he made the choice to investigate the Canes, you know, that really made them pariahs. And
yes.
And she could have sided with her friends and mm-hmm. stayed with that instead of choosing her dad. So right there, you know that they've got each other's backs, even if they don't always understand why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were both very protective of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They took care of each other. Keith was protective of Veronica in her relationships, but I feel like vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica was really concerned about who he was dating. And
wasn't he dating Wallace's mom for
yeah.
a minute?
Yeah, he was.
And he was not on board with her and Logan.
No, I don't think anyone was on board with her and Logan.
Except for me.
Yeah, and me. But
super on board. Like, really on board.
And there is a moment that just, like, tugs at my heartstrings all the yes. time when Veronica is helping I can't come up with names.
Weevil.
No, Kane. Younger Kane.
Duncan.
Duncan. Thank you. Duncan Kane. Leave, and she has to lie to her dad.
Oh,
and to the
police. When he goes to Cuba?
Uh-huh. And he... no, that was the first time, but later... later he leaves for good and goes to Australia. Ooh. And she had to pretend like they broke up and all this stuff. And Keith finds out at the very end that she lied to everyone. And he's like, you played me, Veronica. And it just, like, breaks your heart.
Yeah.
That he just felt, like, so betrayed. He
couldn't believe it.
That she pulled the wool over his eyes, too. And you could just tell that they both were just, like, ugh.
In agony.
Yeah.
Side note, everything I learned about fleeing the country and assuming a new identity, I learned from Veronica Mars. Well,
so did Duncan Kane, and Veronica gave him the tips to do it.
Ugh, such a good show.
And they are in this together because, you know, they have the same beliefs and they both want to find justice. Like, they have just the same, they're cut mm-hmm. from the same cloth, as you said.
I also like that I feel like Keith knows that if he gives Veronica an inch, she'll take a mile, you know? So, but he knows that about her. So mm-hmm. when she's working at the PI firm mm-hmm. with him, you know, he assigns her to make photocopies and do filing.
Yeah.
And every time she pushes it a little more and pushes it a little more. And I remember there was one that involved, like, a stolen dog, and it ended up being, like, a Russian mobster something or other.
Yeah.
And she got herself... She was so confident, and she thought she knew what she was doing, and she got herself in some serious trouble in over her head, and he had to rescue her.
Yeah.
But I liked that push and pull of her thinking that she was, like, a full-fledged PI, and then he would, you know, she would do fine, and then get in some serious hot water, and then he would have to come back and say, you're still in high school, and, like, don't get yourself murdered.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were the best.
They were. And later, you know, Keith really did not want Veronica to follow in his footsteps. So that was interesting that they were so similar. And then he's just trying to push her away.
Don't be like me.
From that, and wants a little bit of a different life for her. But really, I don't think anyone comes close to Keith and Veronica.
Mm-hmm. Gold standard.
Gold standard.
Another, but we're going to try.
Another gold standard.
Homer and Lisa Simpson. So this would fall in the second bucket. People who don't understand each other, don't even speak the same language most of the time.
Does anyone speak the same language as Homer?
No. Lisa is in Mensa. She has an off-the-charts IQ. Homer is not either of those things. But I think that's another example of kind of love and family ties holding a relationship together. And there are so many examples of times where Homer tries to do something for her, even though he doesn't understand it. He doesn't get it. All he knows is that it's what Lisa wants.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, that feels pretty true to real life sometimes, you know, like, I don't understand why you want this thing, but I understand that you want it, so I want it for you.
I didn't know Homer had that side in him.
Oh, yeah. Homer's, he's not a bad dude. He's just kind of a moron.
All right. Not a bad dude, but a moron.
Not bad, but a moron. I feel like that might be on my tombstone. okay, and I know we've already talked to Roseanne tonight, but Dan and Darlene Connor are one of my favorite daddy-daughter combos.
Okay.
They are back to bucket one, just totally cut from the same cloth. And, you know, I remember so many scenes start with them coming in from a ball game together, you know, or leaving to go to a baseball game together, or coming back from basketball and high-fiving each other. And I can't believe that play. And you really schooled that guy. And Darlene played on boys' teams, which that's what I did when I was little. So I always identified with that. But the interesting thing about Darlene and Dan is how their relationship changed as she got older.
Okay.
And started getting interested in boys and messing around with boys. And I remember she got caught kissing some guy on the couch or something, and Dan just lost his mind.
So, well, Darlene was like his favorite, right, of the three, like unspoken.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Okay. So I'll be very interested to see how the new version kind of plays with that relationship. Darlene has moved home.
Okay.
And she told everyone it was because her parents were getting old and sick and she needed to take care of them, but it's actually because she lost her job.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, there's a pro tip right there. Like, if you're going to move home, say it's to take care of your parents. So that's a good one. What other ones did you have on your list?
So we had Sydney and Jack Bristow from Alias. And this is another, like, Keith and Veronica Mars doing the same...
Family business.
Yeah. Same weird family business. They have a really complicated relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several times where... it's like really good and then it's like really crazy and
it's like a cross and then a double cross and then a triple cross.
And it starts out not so great, right? Like she doesn't have fond memories with her father, and then she finds out that they're on the same side and fighting for the same thing, and he saves her life a number of times.
And the history that she didn't know about.
Yeah.
Typical kid.
I think it's interesting to watch them try and build a relationship in their adult lives and in just very weird circumstances.
That's interesting, the adult life thing. I think we're going to come back to that with another show. But I think that's an interesting thing, the difference between when you're watching a show about an adult child and a kid and a parent versus a kid and a parent.
The one thing that I loved in Alias is there's a whole season where Sydney can't remember where she was for 2 years, right? She wakes up and she's in Hong Kong. And
Vaughn's married.
Yes. To Lauren.
Devastation.
Uh-huh. And so she's just trying to figure it out, and everyone thought she was dead. And so for 2 years, everyone kind of moved on, but Jack didn't move on. He just, like, knew she was alive and just had that father instinct. And... he got in trouble just trying to find her and trying to prove that she was still kicking. So I like that
he never gave up on her.
No, he never gave up. And
Meredith!
I know. And Vaughn gave up.
Stupid Vaughn.
Gosh.
We forgive you. You're adorable.
Yeah.
You know, is it wrong to say that I might love Jennifer Garner and Victor Garber in real life more than I love them on the show? Which is a lot. I love them on the show so much, but, like, keeping up with them in People Magazine and on social media, just their meetups and their...
Yeah, they seem to really like each other.
Oh, man, they're just the cutest, those two. I think he married her. I mean, he didn't marry her, but when she married Ding Dong Back Tattoo, Ben Affleck. You know, Ding Dong Back Tattoo. I think he married them.
Ooh.
No, he's...
That's a fun fact.
Well, I don't know if it's true.
We need a fun fact checker.
We'll take any kind of fact checker at this point.
Must be fun.
That's true. But I just think they're so wonderful as they move through life. As we've talked about many times, we love, like, behind-the-scenes harmony.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And that seems like carrying the harmony beyond the program.
TV, bringing people together.
Like me and you, Mer.
I think it's interesting to have these, like, family relationships in these very intense situations.
Yeah, so, like being in a spy syndicate.
Yeah, the spy. You have Keith and Veronica doing
their PI
work. Mm-hmm. I thought about Olivia Pope in Scandal, and her dad is in this spy network, and, you know, they're at odds at times, and you just think, like, man, people's lives are messed up.
Don't you just hate it when that happens?
I just think it's crazy, and it makes for good TV, though. Those are all popular shows.
That's true.
Speaking of popular shows...
Oh, Lord.
Let's get to Full House.
I was hoping you would say that.
Our daddy daughter, Danny Tanner, and his three daughters. I didn't even choose any one of his daughters.
No, I just put them in a bag all together.
One thing that I will say for Danny Tanner... And I'm going to start off with something nice. I am impressed with his ability to keep things clean. Like, he made spring cleaning.
Well, that's, like, part of his kind of shtick, right? Is that he's anal retentive and, like, super type A.
But as a parent with three children, like, I sometimes feel like I have to choose, like, either be a good parent or clean. Keep things clean, right?
Or like, feed everyone.
Yeah, not to say that you can't have a clean house and have children, but me personally, I think it's so hard to have a clean house and be nice to my kids because I'm always worried when it's clean that they're messing it up, right?
True Confessions, Meredith edition.
Yeah, well,
and they had a dog.
Yeah, and no Roomba in sight.
You know, Queer Eye for the Full House guys could be the next one.
Yeah, so not to say that I'm not nice to my kids.
Meredith is not nice to her children, everyone.
But when my house is clean, I do become really intense. And he found a way to keep it clean and keep it friendly. So good on you, Danny Tanner.
Well, maybe there's a parenting book in his future. I would read that.
I don't want to. We know that what's his face in real life is not that great, right? Bob Saget.
Oh, no. He works blue.
Yeah. So I don't really want to read a book.
The Aristocrats.
He did seem to have good relationships with his daughters. You know, there was a lot of heart-to-hearts, which I've talked about before.
With music lead-in, mm-hmm. which is the best.
Yeah, and he was the king of the dad jokes.
Big time, which is so funny, again, because he is not that kind of comedian. He's a different kind of comedian.
Yeah, not our kind of comedian, my kind of comedian. I should just...
Totally my kind of comedian.
Speak for myself here.
Speak for yourself,
He was king of the dad jokes. He really invented the dad jokes.
Although when your partner in crime has like a woodchuck ventriloquist puppet.
Yeah.
It's neck and neck there for... Was it a woodchuck?
Uh-huh.
Or a beaver or something?
I think it was a woodchuck.
Anyway.
I can do the impersonation.
I wish you would.
Uncle Joey and his woodchuck. But I'll save that for another time.
Ooh, tease. I did love that Danny Tanner was not afraid to phone a friend and bus in some help. He was like, three daughters on my own and a dog? I don't think so. Like, Uncle Joey, hop on the next trolley car, or I don't know how they got there. I don't remember the setup for that show, do you? Like, how it all transpired? I
mean, no.
I know the mom died. Sorry. But...
Yeah, I don't know how they came in. But, like, it was weird. Joey lived in that little nook, like, in their living room for a while, and...
I love that show.
The fact that they made that work...
Did you watch the new one?
No, I can't.
I will. I'll do it.
Okay.
I can do it. I have a really strong stomach. I have, like, I have a high threshold for...
Jeez.
Cornball. I mean, I made it almost to the end of Seventh Heaven. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, you... quote, hate watched it.
I mean, I didn't watch it on purpose, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, so Fuller House, here comes Robin.
Here comes Honey Boo Boo. Okay, so that was the Tanner situation. I also wanted to talk about one of my favorite current father-daughter relationships on TV, and that is from Jane the Virgin.
Yes.
Jane and Rogelio.
So good.
Oh, that's another one. They had no relationship when she was growing up. He didn't even know that she was a person in the world. Yeah. Like, he said he had, like, an inkling that maybe he had gotten his high school girlfriend pregnant, but never, like, acted on it. So,
yeah.
I think, I can't remember how old she is when she finally meets him, but it's probably, like, in her early 20s, right?
Yeah, her adult life.
Yeah, so she's definitely an adult, and I think she has some baggage from that, clearly, and he has a chip on his shoulder about the mom not, about Zoe not including him in Jane's life. But I think the really important thing is that they both just decide they're going to get over it and try and make a relationship.
Yeah.
And they're just the best. Rogelio can be so over the top sometimes, but
yes.
I think that even since the show started, he has turned into this amazing dad to both Jane and his new baby, whose name is Baby.
Yeah, and for someone who is so self-centered and narcissistic, he will do anything for Jane.
Yes.
Anything.
He will move heaven and earth.
Yeah, and... To the point where it's become a problem at times, right? He thinks he knows what's right for her and is willing to go do to any length to help her out.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell that he's trying to make up for lost time a little bit.
That's true. that's true. I really love that show, Meredith, so much. It fills me with such joy.
It is very good. And
except for when I'm sobbing.
Yeah, and I like that father-daughter relationship a lot.
Yeah.
And
what else you got?
I think this is my last one.
Okay.
And it's Cam and Lily from Modern Family.
Oh, that's a good one.
And just like from the very beginning, they've had a great relationship, and Cam is so proud of Lily.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, but when they announced to their family that they adopted a baby, he comes out with a Lion King song and lifts her up.
I do remember that.
Like Rafiki lifts up Simba. And yes, that is just a perfect description about Cam and Lily. They are always doing things together, hiding it from Mitchell sometimes.
Because he's a killjoy.
Yeah. And there is, like, when they're trying to sleep train their baby,
ooh,
he would, like, sneak in and go and help her because he just couldn't help himself. Like,
aww,
he couldn't hear her cry. I remember there he dressed her up as different celebrities and took photos of her. She does seem to know which parent she can play for certain things, right?
Sure.
Between Cam and Mitchell, but they just have a very sweet relationship together where they kind of do silly things and hide it. And I think he's a sweet dad.
Is that a show that you're watching currently?
No. You know what? After like the first four or five seasons,
yeah,
it kind of fell off on things that we watched. I'm not opposed to it. It just was like, okay. For the first few seasons, it was so funny and
yes,
clever and new and smart. I felt like it was a show that was harder to keep my interest.
Yep. I feel like that's a common review of Modern Family is like, mark me down as someone who has watched it, but I'm not watching season 13
currently,
yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. Big supporter of it. Maybe felt like could have gone like six seasons. It's just, I felt like the storylines, they had a hard time keeping the storylines. We've talked about that before. Like, the kids graduated and left the house and then came back. And
right, right.
Maybe
leave them wanting more, Modern Family. That could be a philosophy.
But I will say, like, occasionally it'll just be on and I turn it on. And it always makes me laugh. And I think it is clever and funny still. Like, I don't think it has lost its wit. I think just the plot,
yep,
maybe is hard to keep going.
I think that's correct.
Oh, whoa. Thank you. I have one honorable mention.
Okay. I love an honorable mention.
Because he's not actually her father, but Richard Weber from Grey's Anatomy, you know, my comfort show. He was not Meredith Grey's biological father,
okay,
or like adoptive father, but
not any kind of father.
No. But he was kind of a fill-in because Meredith spent a lot of her time at the hospital.
Okay. Is he a doctor?
He is a doctor. He had a relationship with Meredith's mother.
Ooh.
And she is now at the same hospital as him, and he kind of watches over her in her adult life and has been a mentor and a friend, even at times when she didn't want it. He still just stood by her and supported her. And he now has, in the show, he now has a daughter that he'd never met before, another...
Ooh.
Adult father-daughter relationship.
Just like straight out of a telenovela.
Yes. And he just is seems like a good, supportive father.
Hmm.
So Richard Weber, Grey's Anatomy, check it out.
Honorable mention. Father figure.
Another season 26.
Don't worry. Ellen Pompeo is getting that money.
Yeah, good for her. All right, I think that's it. Next time, we will be talking about our favorite grandparents on TV.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So, shout out. Give us a shout out on...
Send us the Golden Girls. Which one you love?
On Twitter, Facebook, or Insta at MyTVFamilyPod. Follow us and keep in touch and see that conversation about everyone's favorite TV grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Do it. And while you're online, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. Please make them 5-star reviews.
Bye.
Bye.